Welcome to the Laugh or Go Crazy Show with Steve and Michelle. We are so excited to be here at FMG Radio with all of you. We hope and know that you will find our show to be intimate, honest, and addictive, quite different than any other radio show you've heard before.
I agree, Michelle. And you know what I love about us and the show? Every time we hit the record button, we're not sure exactly where the show is going to take us. And that is the fun part for me. I believe you're going to love our premium subscription service, which gives you more Laugh or Go Crazy than you hear here on FMG Radio. It unlocks years of shows, new video recordings, and new voice recordings just for you. So after the show, check us out at laughorgocrazy.podbean.com and like us on facebook.com/laughorgocrazy. We hope you're living your best life and enjoy the show. You know, I got to say, tonight feels different to me. You know, we're celebrating change, and we are going to talk about the successful mind and how a successful mind, in my mind anyway, is about being able to really embrace change and to make change part of your everyday life and not to be afraid of it. So that's kind of the theme tonight. And I think it's a really important one. And my co-host Michelle is in cyberspace on the other end. And I want to say good evening to you.
I was waiting. I said, wow, he just got right into it. He didn't even say hello.
You thought I was just going to take off, right?
Well, usually you'll say, how are you today? Da, 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 da. Not tonight. Tonight you would just, wow.
No, tonight is, we're holding class tonight, actually.
Yeah, I know. You're very excited.
I'm very excited because I'm learning a lot.
I know. It's fun when you learn.
It is fun when you learn.
I know. I learned a lot this week, so I'm happy that you did as well.
And you're revving to go.
Yeah, I've been learning a lot of different things in a lot of different places. So that's pretty neat.
It is. It is.
Yeah.
And I've missed you, by the way.
Oh, I know. I mean, not that I know you've missed me, but I have missed you too. I feel as though, you know, life gets you busy in a lot of good ways, but I really haven't spoken to you all that much. So tonight is even extra nice.
Right. When we don't speak, I mean, we speak here and there, but we don't really have the quality conversations all the time during the week that we can, you know, that we could have. So on a Monday night like tonight, you know, all the lights are out, the candles are lit, nobody's home. And it's really a sacred hour for me.
Yeah, that's nice.
To spend time.
I know, my house is quiet on this end.
Yeah.
Having my tea. I have my blanket on my lap, so while we chat, I can work on it. And it's a very, I look forward to this.
It is exciting.
Yeah.
Well, just to reiterate again, Michelle and I started the 21-day free meditation from Oprah and Deepak. And, you know, I've seen it advertised a few times, and I decided to do it because a friend of mine needed to do it. And so I said, you know, I'll do it with you. You know, not necessarily physically with you, but we'll do one a day and we'll talk about it. And the meditations are about, the lesson in the meditations are probably 5-6 minutes. And then you have a 15-minute quiet meditation. And, you know, each theme is different and every day is different. And I find it very helpful, like extremely helpful. And so I'm doing this meditation, and the catalyst was a friend of mine needed to really, you know, center himself. And he had asked me, you know, what I do. And I said, you know, when I feel out of balance, I meditate. I have to read a good book, usually a book that's, I don't know, it doesn't have to always be a self-help book, but, you know, an inspirational type book. And, you know, talking to you obviously keeps me centered. So I was telling him all the ways that I do it. And so anyway, I committed to the 21-day meditation, and then I got you on board.
Yeah. You know, I have to say, I've really been taking this hot yoga class that I really like very much. And I do it mostly on the weekend because that's when I have time. But that has helped me so much in, like, preparation for meditation, because the truth is that yoga, the yoga class is really at the very end when you meditate. It's preparing for meditation. That's right. That's what one of the instructors was explaining to us. And it's very interesting how the more you practice meditation and yoga and the quietness of like your body and your mind and the focus, the better you get at it. So when you said, you know, you want to do this 21-day meditation little class with me, you know, it's much easier to do it for me because I have been practicing. And it is so peaceful. It's funny because when I turn the lesson on, you know, we're on like day 5. I listened to it before and I did it. I can settle myself down so quickly where in the past, like I would settle down like at the very end of it, you know?
Right.
So the more you do it, the more you practice, the quicker you get to that relaxed state. And it's so wonderful to be relaxed when you're awake. I don't think many people have that opportunity. You know, they always wait for bed, like for sleep time, but you can really be in such a relaxed state awake.
You have such a way with words.
Do I?
You really do. I think I'm falling in love.
Listen, sometimes it just flows right out. Other times I'm tongue-tied.
I remember the early days. You couldn't put a sentence together.
And that's true. I was like, no, even today I still sometimes can't put a sentence together. But
no, I'm just joking. But you've become the Ted Koppel of this show.
I know. Listen, hey.
The Diane Sawyer.
Relaxation. Right. But I'll tell you, it is amazing. And I think that whoever is joining us out there, you know, we really hope that you're getting as much out of it as we are. And I love the little lessons each day. I do learn something new. I know you really love today's lesson, right? Lesson 5?
Yeah, I wanted... if I could just open up with lesson 5, A Successful Mind. I never thought of my mind as being successful. Like, for instance, you know, oftentimes, and for me, I had experienced this, but I know a lot of people that battle with their minds, that really struggle with controlling their repetitive thoughts. And the thoughts that make them unhappy in the present moment. And, you know, I can relate because I've had thoughts that just kind of resurfaced over and over again. And I play it out so many different ways in my head. And if I did this and then, and if she said that, and I would just say this back and, you know, and then I'd start to get really angry and agitated.
Right.
Or if I would worry, you know, or about something that might happen or didn't happen yet or could happen, it would almost be as though my mind was this puppy and the puppy wants to run in every direction and it's sort of dragging me from location to location or from tree to tree.
It's funny. I heard that analogy last week. I took a class. And it was a yoga and mindfulness class. And she talked about your mind being a puppy. And when you can finally get a hold of your mind, like finally because you really are in control of your mind. You know, your mind wanders because you let it. It's so active because you let it be that active. But if you can gain control of your mind and acknowledge the thought that may come in and then release it, you will be a much happier person, which makes total sense. But it was so interesting how she worded it. And it was very similar to what you're saying. And she used, you know, a puppy. Like, you know, a puppy goes from thing to thing, excited, picking it up, dropping it, picking it, thinking about this, running in the other room, going here, going there, eating, like, so hyper. And that's pretty much how a lot of our minds are.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and being able to... control the mind in a way that you know, and this is what day 5 was about, using your mind to create your reality. Okay, so you know, so when you're using your mind, you do it in a way to invite abundance or to invite success beyond your wildest dreams or to dream, and use your mind in a way that can create your reality. So rather than let it drag you from place to place to place in unwanted areas, and oftentimes, you know, we think, oh, well, And it's almost like saying you're disconnected from your mind. Like, if you're trying to control your mind, that means you're two.
And I thought of that, but I think I may believe that in a weird way. Like, I
believe it too, Michelle.
Yeah, because there's no way that you're not separate.
Yeah, it's like we need it. We need it. It needs us.
Yeah.
And we need it, right? But we're separate. We're separately connected. And so, you know, the Michelle inside of you and the Steve inside of me is mindless, right? It's
right.
A soul. But we need the mind to make decisions and to plan and to put your dreams in action. You know, the mind is almost something like, it makes it concrete. Okay, it makes all the things you want to do concrete, which means okay, so if you have a dream, okay, so you dream it up, you have an aspiration, and then you say, okay, how are we going to go about this? Well, I'm going to do this, that, and it's like a logical, let's get it done step by step kind of approach. And in the meditation for day 5, A Successful Mind, Oprah was talking about whatever shows up in your mind, your thoughts, okay, the good or the bad, it will affect your reality directly. So therefore, if you're always thinking negatively or with anxiety or, you know, you have the view of the world that's not half full, it's half empty, then you're actually creating your own world by thinking that way. If you're letting your mind go that way, you know, in thinking negative thoughts, you're almost inviting that type of experience in your life. And then conversely, if you could have that thought, and my friend said it perfectly, he said, you know, Steve, I cannot control this thinking, this negative thinking. And then he made a breakthrough the other day. And he said, you know, he says, I'm thinking of my thoughts this way now. Okay. Instead of the guest that won't leave, the thought that sits on my couch in boxer shorts and drinking beer and is just kind of bugging me and just kind of like, I want it to go. I want the guest to leave, but the guest is not leaving. It's just staying with me. You know, that repetitive thought, that way of thinking is sort of this guy in boxer shorts, you know, drinking beer, the unwanted guest, right? And then he's saying, you know, when those thoughts come to my mind now, the unwanted guest, you know, you kind of think of your thoughts sometimes as an unwanted guest, you know, the thoughts we don't want to have. You think of that thought as someone who rings your bell. And you go to answer it, okay? And you answer the door and you say, hi. And the thought says what it needs to say. And you say to the thought or the person at your door, you know, that's interesting, but I'm really not interested right now. Thanks for coming, but I have to go. Actually, you have to go.
Right, and it's like releasing it. Nice to see you. I understand. I'll see you soon.
Yeah, exactly, Michelle. And you calmly shut the door. You don't get mad at it. You don't say, why did you show up at my door? Again. I told you not to show up at my door. I'm not interested in buying the thing that you're selling, you know, as a metaphor. I really am not interested in hearing this thought. Why are you always showing up at my door? I thought I could control you so if you're battling with this person, then you're giving it an energy and it thinks it's important and you're not going to get rid of it. But if you're seeing this thought as, you know, a guest that rings the bell and you can calmly say, you know, recognize that the thought is saying something to you, okay? Whatever the person trying to sell you something at your door. You know, do you want your house painted? Are you interested in this? Are you interested in that? And then you calmly say, you know, I'm not interested. And I appreciate you coming, but I have to go, and so do you. And you can calmly shut the door and move on. And then he said, Steve, I think of these unwanted thoughts like that now. And then if I think that I've allowed this person into my house, and now he's on my couch, this unwanted guest. If I've invited this person to stay, then I have to replace it. I have to do a thought replacement. And that's what Deepak says in the day five. He says, if you have a thought, I wrote it down, self-defeating thoughts or negative thoughts should be replaced by better self-serving thoughts. All you have to do is say no to the repetitive thinking, notice that you're doing it, and replace it with a different thought. And it's almost like you're training the puppy. You're saying, no, you don't go to the bathroom in the house. You don't yell at the dog. You don't scream at the dog. And you certainly don't hit the dog. Okay? You don't want to beat yourself up because that's just adding to it. But you train it to say, no, bad. We're going to go outside. This is not a good thought. And replace it with a positive reinforcement, a positive thought. And you bring the dog outside and you show the dog where to go to the bathroom. And when it does, there's a praise, right? And so you treat your thoughts very much like that when you're trying. And this is all to try to stop the negative thinking and the repetitive thinking. But that's a lot. I know so many people, Michelle, that have, including myself, that really struggled with the battle between you and your mind and getting control of it, which we talked last week about the ski slope, recarving that different path down the slope. It's going to take patience, like Deepak says, and it's going to take love. And with patience and love and observance, you can do it. You can really change your thought by replacing it with another thought. And I thought that was really a concrete tool to use.
It is. Yep.
What did you get out of five? Did you get something else?
No, that's basically what I got out of it. I think that this meditating and whatever it is that, you know, you do or whatever you call it is a practice. This is not something that, you can do and say, I need this now. And then I don't need it anymore, because I think it's something that you need all the time. And in order to stay with like a healthy mind and healthy thoughts, it's a practice. It's almost like a way of life. And that's what I learned last week as well when I took that class, that you don't keep the benefits of meditating and yoga and retraining your mind and you know, having healthy, rational thoughts and unless you practice. And that's like that's something that you always have to do. If you stop, the benefits will stop. So for example, if you stop going to the gym, the benefits of exercising will stop, meaning you won't be as strong, right? You won't be as healthy. You won't have as much energy. If you stop eating healthy, it's the same thing when you work with your brain and, you know, you're like body, soul, mind. And I thought that was interesting because I really, I never thought of it that way, as though it's a way of life and not like a temporary thing.
Right.
If you want the benefits of the practice.
Yes. And the practice never ends.
Exactly. Because it's
a practice. The practice never ends. It's funny. Right, right. You know, I always say my spin instructor, I should have him on the show. He's really amazing. Thomas. And, you know, I take his cycle class a couple of days a week. And I take it not only for the physical challenge of it, because he's an amazing instructor. He's like really beat you up, not beat you up, but like really gives you a challenge. But he's also very spiritual. And he often says in between songs or at the beginning of the race, he'll say some things that really gets me thinking every week. And he writes things on the mirror. And what he said as we're warming up, he said, okay, everybody. He said, you know, you come every week. He said, the body will not change unless you make change. He said, so you can't expect to come and to see changes in your life if you don't change. And he says, if nothing changes, nothing changes. And I love that quote because it was so appropriate for what we were doing. Like, you know, if you just kind of come to class and never change the weights and just come and go through the motions, you're not going to see the changes in your body that you want to see. Okay, every week you have to change the weight, change the routine so that you can have the changes you want in your body. But he also said, as we were warming up, you know, he says in this line, if nothing changes, nothing changes. It's also about really stopping the excuses. You know, I often see and hear complaints from people during the day and in our, you know, day to day. It could be loved ones too, who complain about things that aren't happening or things about themselves that they're not happy with, or expecting a different result and always doing the same thing. And so he's like, you know, if nothing changes on your part, if you're not changing something, then how could you expect change to happen? Change just doesn't happen. You know, you have to, if you want change in your life, you have to make changes. And, you know, like every week you and I are on this show talking about the changes we make. I mean, you guys must think we're crazy, because every week we're starting something new. We're trying something new. We're changing. We're tweaking. We're adjusting our outlook. And I'm proud of that. You know, I'm proud of you for that, Michelle. And so if nothing changes, nothing's going to change. And so I want to give people the courage to make the changes in their life. Small changes. It could just be getting up on a Sunday and going to the gym, or it could just be taking a walk with your, you know, somebody and seeing something different. So I like that, you know. I like that line, if nothing changes, nothing changes, you know, because it reminds you, hey, I got to be an active part in the change. I can't just wait around for change, you know, to change me. You know, I have to make the changes in order to be changed.
Well, I'll give you just an example of what I realized the other day. I have been doing this hot yoga for like 6 weeks. So I'm not that I'm proud of myself, but I think I found something that I really love that I like look forward to doing. And I'm, you know what I mean? Like, it's not like the gym. I don't know. I feel like this is going to be a practice more than a phase. Does that make sense?
Right.
All right. So I go and, you know, like it's very, very hot. Like the hot classes are over 100 degrees sometimes. And I'm not very good at it because, quite honestly, with my legs, I don't have the balance I need. So, which I've completely accepted.
Right.
And I go anyway and I try the best that I can. And I really, you know, I release my ego. And, but what I love most is that during this class, you practice the body and mind. So you're not only physically working out, you know, they talk to you throughout the whole class, and almost all of the instructors are very spiritual, and they're always grounding you and making connections and telling you, like, you know, that it's okay to do what your body tells you to do and all this great stuff. So I realized after 6 weeks of this, like, I feel strong. I'm feeling much stronger. My back, my arms, my legs, like everything is feeling stronger in my body. So physically. So I said to myself, you know, that's great. And I go through these phases of, like, you know, eating very healthy and then, you know, kind of not paying too much attention. I'm always aware of it, but then, like, really eating kind of junk for a while, you know, and then I get back on track. And then I said to myself, if I really want to feel good, like, in other words, that part isn't going to change unless I make the change. Now, that's more of like a concrete change. You know, it's not so much changing the brain, but in a way it is. Because if you are not willing to change something, something isn't going to change. So if you don't change that behavior, whatever it is, in my right. case, maybe it's really being mindful of what I'm eating lately. This way I can see the strength come through my body. Like right now, you know, I have that winter stuff going on, that extra, and, you know, I've been eating like winter. So I said, you know, on Saturday, I really want to make an effort to maintain this healthy inside, healthy outside, you know?
Right.
And I think we make connections to, you know, your spin, my yoga or whatever, because that's what we're practicing right now. That's what we're, what's helping us in the, like, physical body form. You know, I even like the way Deepak talked about in lesson 4, which was yesterday for us. We're a few behind, but he talked about how your body is like your best friend.
Oh, that was day 4. That was great.
Yeah, it was really great. He's like, how your body goes everywhere with you. Your body should be treated as though it's like one of your family members, you know, and you need to nourish it and take good care of it. And that's the first thing you have when you're born. Like, and that's what gets you everywhere you need to go. And he said it, you know, more eloquently.
But well, he said, Michelle, I'm just going to read my notes if I could just jump in. He said, "Your body, you have to see your body as it is. It's a living, intelligent, dynamic creation."
Right.
"And it's constantly renewing itself to serve you."
Exactly. And you know, we look at body image. That's all ego. You know, your body, that's what I mean. Like when I talk about feeling strong and from the inside, like it's such a wonderful feeling to feel strong. Do you know, I can't explain it. I don't know if you feel that way sometimes.
I do.
Yeah. Like, I may not like the, I'm not talking that I look strong or that you know, like, it's just a feeling you have of strength, physical strength.
Right.
And it is an incredible feeling, you know, and when you do something for a while, you know, and you practice, you get better.
Well, like you know, anything. Right. Deepak had said, you know, changing your view of your body from a beautiful body, which has its place, but change your view from a beautiful body to a successful body. Which body do you have? Do you have a beautiful body or do you have a successful body? And he went on to talk about how having a successful body becomes a trusted ally. It becomes a friend. And the body, remember, the body is holding us. It's holding us. Anyone who's listening thinks we're one, not two, then can't relate to this day four, because Deepak was saying that your body is a living creation. It's, you know, obviously intelligent, it's dynamic, you know, you cut yourself, it heals. You eat right, it repairs itself. You reduce stress. You know, you heal.
You know, I just have to jump in before I get this. I'm sorry. But he talked about, too, how going back to your mind, how your mind, if you strengthen your mind and you get control of it and your thoughts, you can heal your body.
You could heal your body.
I was sick. I was like, wait a minute.
No, Michelle, I believe this is so big. We have to get control of our mind and treat it like a friend so that it's an ally. It's another tool for us. We have to treat our body as a successful body. That means working out, keeping yourself healthy, but also feeding it right so that it can renew. And they talk about every breath you take, Michelle, the conscious breath. When you take a deep breath, and you know, whether it be meditation or sometimes at a light, a red light in the car, I find myself breathing shallow.
Right.
You know, and then when I pay attention to it, I'm like, why aren't I even taking a deep breath? Why am I taking these, right? Why am I taking these like little breaths where he says, when you have a successful body, you are paying attention to your breath and you're taking a very calm, deep breath and everything slows down and it allows your body to renew itself with every inhale and exhale. You are becoming a new person. You're building a successful body. And by looking at and by paying attention to your breath in that way, it's huge.
Now, I may have mentioned this last week when we talked, but I don't remember.
Well, we're just going to say it again.
I'm going to say it again.
They need to hear it. I need to hear it.
I forgot where I heard this, but I forgot if I heard it or read it, but it was recently that we come into the world with our first breath and we leave the world with our last breath. That is the first and last thing that you have when you enter and leave Earth, the world, right? The living, what we're doing now. I don't even know what that's called, you know, life, I guess. So you're supposed to nurture it. It's a very, you know, I mean, if without breath, we can't live, right?
Right.
So we take it for granted. You know?
No, I do. You know what, Michelle, that's like very profound because, your first breath as a human being, right?
It's the first cry when they clear out your lung, you know?
Right. Yeah.
And then when you die, how do we know you're dead?
And then your first and your last breath on earth, right?
Yep.
And it all begins and ends with the breath. And it's just seeing breathe. Like most people don't even pay attention. I didn't pay attention to my breathe. I just was doing my thing, right? I was so in my head, getting in the car, going to work, thinking about what I wanted to do on the way to work, when I got home from work. And then when I was at work, I was thinking about what I wanted to do on the drive home. And then I was on the drive home, I was thinking about doing... I was everywhere but where I was.
Right.
For a very long time. Unless something stimulating happened, like vacation or something amazing, then I'd snap out of my mind and say, oh, where am I again? Oh, here I am. I love this. This is great. And then I'd have a good time. And then when things slowed down a bit, boom, back in the mind. And it was like a cycle, a vicious cycle. And like you said earlier, you know, by controlling your mind, you can really heal your body. You could really create and manifest in your life whatever you think of. But first, you got to control your mind and get control of it.
And I think right, that takes a lot of work. So if you
have... Oh, you know what? How much work does it really take? I mean, you know, I don't want...
No, you have to really... Well, you have to really work at it. I think that most people have no control over their mind. They let it run rampant, and that's why they have highs, lows, anxiety.
But do you think people...
Their emotions.
Right, what? But you know...
I think you have to commit to it. I really do.
Oh, you have to want it. First of all, you have to want it and you have to commit to it. You're totally right. Now, if you don't want it and you don't commit, then forget it. However, if you want it and commit and work at it a little bit, I think it's very doable.
And I think you need help and reminders. For example, I sometimes need reminders. Maybe that may be like wearing a bracelet that represents the relaxation or, all the oil stuff that I love. The scent. When I smell lavender, I know exactly what that means. My body now knows what that means. So it's a reminder for me to relax. It's a reminder for me that I put it on because I want to relax or whatever, you know. So you may have to give yourself a reminder, maybe a little something in your car or a little something in your kitchen or wearing something, you know, to remind you that this is what you're working on. Because I'll be honest with you, you know, a little of that ADHD and I'm moving so quickly that I forget exactly what it is that I wanted to do. Like I had to write down when you told me the other day to take this, you know, meditation class, 21-day class, I actually put a post-it.
Right.
Because I'll get caught up in the day and all of a sudden I'll find myself laying down and I'm like, oh, I wanted to work on this and do this and all of the, you know, work on all of the good things that kind of keep me centered and I forget to do that.
Right.
So if you want to work on something, you may have to do a little reminder.
Well, some people keep stones or certain things in their pocket that have meaning. I know that you wear the bracelet I gave you.
Yes, I wear that every single day.
I know you do. I'm so happy that you do.
Yeah, you know, every single day.
Tell everyone how nice I am. Go ahead.
You're so nice.
Tell everyone what I did for you.
Oh, I know. When Steve goes away, he brings me back something meaningful. They always are very meaningful, my gifts. So he brought me back a beautiful bracelet from Spain. Did you get it in Spain or did you travel from Spain and get it?
No, I got it in Spain.
In Spain.
In the hometown that I stay in.
Yeah.
It's a small little town in the northern Spain and it's a very religious Catholic town. So I said, oh, perfect for you.
Yeah.
So I went to the, I made sure, you know, listen, I left everyone that I was with. I said, I have to do something.
And oh, you're so good.
I did. And I got the bracelet that I got for you. And it was a really pretty bracelet, you know, metal. And it had all the saints all the way around it. And I wanted to get it blessed at this ancient, very old church. You know, couple hundreds of years. You know, because in Spain, everything's old. But it was a very old stone church. You know, in the city, but it was often like down an alley and it was on the water and it was very pretty. And so it was just before lunchtime and everything closes around 2 o'clock in Spain. So it was like 1:50, 1:45. And I went up to the steps. I'm like, oh God, I hope I can get in here because I didn't think I could get it blessed because we were going away and the weekend was coming. And it just, I don't know if I can get back to this church. So I got in there and I was able to get it blessed. And I got you one and another friend, but I got you the really special one.
You know what I love? I have like this whole system with this bracelet of mine. I face the saints toward me when I feel like I need some help and like extra. And then when I feel real good and I feel like the people around me could use it, I face the saints outward.
Oh, that's good.
Do you like that?
I like that.
Yeah, because I'm like a little crazy in my mind. But yeah, that's what I do.
Oh, that's so good.
So I decide, or sometimes I'll switch it during the day.
Oh, really? Look at you. You're always fiddling.
Sometimes. Yeah, like I'll switch it. I'm always fiddling. I am. I believe we need like little reminders. I really do. I love the little clear, like glass-like rock angels with the angels in the middle that like you can just put in your pocket or your pocketbook, and it's that soft, soft, soft glass. But it's like a reminder that you just kind of can feel like, you know, you have like, I don't know, almost like protection, or, you know, you have to have faith in something. You have to believe. You really have to believe in something. It doesn't matter what it is. It just has to mean something right to you. Because I think if you don't believe in something, you know, it's hard to get through things.
No, it is. I think I found a song for you.
You did?
Yeah. I was just searching songs.
You just weren't listening to me, and so you were searching the internet.
Well, now that we stopped talking about me, I lost all interest. All right, hold on for a second. All right. Yeah. All right, I need you to play. Must be the one who's magic. Another song?
No.
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I never heard that song. Who sings it?
Neil Young.
Oh, wow. Magic Touch, that was a book too.
Yeah, and it's all about changing your mind when you're feeling certain things. Things that distract you, things that don't support you, you know. It's interesting. You know, the mind, it's all about the mind tonight. Give me another mind song.
I don't know, but you know what just came to my mind, so I'm going to share this quickly. A lot of times you just said people that are not, do not support you and whatever.
Right.
If you always remember that, if someone isn't supporting you or is not being kind to you or is not treating you right, it I would say, in my opinion, 100% of the time is an issue that they have. And I think once you can realize that it's the other person that is not well, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Then it kind of puts everything in perspective. Like, there are a lot of people that I know now that I don't base their behaviors on what I did or didn't do. I base their behaviors on the way I think, the kind of sadness I feel for them. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I know. I got it. Well, you're very healthy.
No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm really not that. I'm not. I mean, I try to be, but
well, you're very healthy. You.
No, but it's so funny. We were talking also about like we have this friend, and they just feel the need to like, not they. I don't even know. And a very good people, kind people, generous, loving people. I mean, we love them. Yeah, truly love them.
Right.
But there is a piece that there's a very strong ego. Okay, so let me explain. So we have a fancy car, and when we park at a restaurant, we get the valet to park us right in front, the very first spot, so everyone can see our car.
Wait, did you get the car yet?
No.
Oh,
not my car.
Oh, no. Okay.
But it's funny because, you know, my husband's like, look at that. I guarantee you that's their car, and it was specifically parked right there for a reason. I'm like, get out of here. And sure enough, that's exactly what happened. And I'm like, you know, and so I was telling him, I'm like, you know, I feel bad for him. I feel bad that someone feels that they have to do that, because that's like an insecurity. I mean, why would you care where your car's parked, right? I mean, really, let's talk about that. Why would you care? Who cares? I mean, I come with my 12-year-old Toyota Highlander.
No, I know.
And you know they're parking our car way in the back. Right by the dumpster, you know, because all the fancy cars are in the front. But how pathetic is that even for the restaurant? Look at the restaurants that are a little higher end, you know, or not even high end anymore. I think all restaurants do that. They valet park the cars based on ego,
status.
Yeah.
Right.
I laugh. I think, listen, I like a nice car just like the next, so I'm not saying that that's not something that I like. However, I just think that it's all ego.
It is. And you know what? The nice cars, you say, oh, beautiful people usually drive nice cars. Think about
it.
No, but I'm just saying the restaurant is thinking that.
Isn't that sad? The
beautiful cars must have beautiful people, and therefore I want to go there because I want to be with the beautiful people. You know, listen, if they park, the restaurant's thinking, if I parked all the jalopies out in front, who's inside in the restaurant?
I know, but it's very sad.
I'm not telling you it's right. I'm just telling you.
I know. But it's really a little like frustrating. I thought that was interesting, you know?
No, I hear you. I mean, it's... All right.
Do I hear music?
Well, I was just going to play
it. Is it time? Because I'm getting my... Hold on, let me get my paperwork ready.
Oh, my God. It's Namaste News with Michelle, and I think she's ready. I don't know if she left us. Did you leave us?
Okay.
Oh, you're here. Okay, go ahead.
This is not a news article. Again, it's a little different this week, but I don't know what you call it, but maybe it is an article, but not really. 34 ways to feel happier right now.
Oh, I got to take this. I got to grab a pen.
I want you to think. No, don't worry. I'll give you a copy.
Right.
And I'll read slowly.
I'm going to
read the introduction and then I'll just start listing. Many of us are guilty of thinking that joy is a journey. We'll achieve happiness. We'll tell ourselves if we accomplish a goal 5 years from now, we'll be happy. We think once we've made a big change that will eventually lead us to our ideal life. And though it may be tempting to view happiness as a permanent state for the future, the field of happiness research tells us a very different story. Here's the real truth. We don't have to work as hard as we think we do to get to a state of bliss. Sometimes a little tweak, shift, or new habit is all it takes. So there's a list of 34 ways to feel happy. Now, they list them, and then they have a little blurb underneath, but I'm only going to read the blurb of the ones that I feel are important.
Okay.
So the first one is, wait a second, count your blessings. There's nothing like a little thankfulness to boost your mood. Research shows expressing gratitude can make you happier. Try writing down 3 things you're thankful for at the end of each night. So that's nice.
That's a big one.
Okay. Remind yourself how great you are. You are awesome. You just got to believe it for yourself. Studies show self-acceptance is crucial to a happier life, but it's a habit we rarely practice. Meditate, meditate, meditate. The list of meditation benefits seems endless, but perhaps one of the more positive perks is what the practice can do for your mood. Research shows that allowing yourself a few moments of zen-like escape each day may make you happier. And it's funny because I do that with my class. I told you, I mean, there are only 6 poor things, but I'm teaching them how to be just still and quiet for like a few minutes at a time. And they're allowed to keep their eyes open. You know, I tell them you can keep your eyes open, you can close them. It's just taking a break from the day. We're just sitting silently, breathing, trying not to think of anything. Just relax. And it's like a true break with all the noise, you know? But anyway.
I like
okay,
it.
Listen to music. Mm-hmm. Give back. I'm only reading ones that I feel like we need a little explanation. Listen to this one. Drink a glass of milk. Dairy contains tryptophan as an essential amino acid that helps create serotonin,
really?
The happy chemical in the brain. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
Plan a vacation because anticipation for a trip is almost as good as the trip itself. And I am a firm believer in that. I am a huge
yes.
anticipation.
You
anything
really are. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, you definitely are.
Like, it could be the silliest thing, like just us going into the city. I am excited for that for weeks ahead.
I know.
Just because it's fun. Okay, get a good workout. Okay,
true.
Consider this our love letter to exercise. Not only is it good for the body, but it's equally beneficial to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
When you work up a sweat, you release endorphins, immediately upping your happiness levels.
I like
Spend
it.
Money on experiences. So I guess instead of things, fake a smile. I like this one. Fake a smile. So even if you're not in a good mood and you look at someone, force yourself to smile, and somehow it has the power at times to change your mood. And I do notice that at work because, you know, even with little kids all day. So, you know, I smile a lot, and sometimes
mm-hmm.
I really don't feel like smiling, and I can feel the fake smile come on,
right.
But it does kind of, it does something to your face and to your mind that makes you like, oh, I don't know, kind of release that, whatever it is that's going on, the little funk inside. Okay.
It's like a jump start. You jump start.
Yeah, like, oh, right.
Right.
Resetting, like a reset button. Okay. Go outside. Make some new friends. Take a cozy bath.
All right. Well, be careful with the noise.
Well, listen, I'm turning the page. I have a lot of notes here.
Okay.
Get enough sleep. Embrace the aging process.
Yeah.
Follow the golden ratio.
What is that? Wait, what?
Yeah, I'm going to read that. This theory, developed by positive psychologist Barbara Fredrickson, exerts that for every one negative experience you have, you should have three positive ones in order to achieve happiness.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Show your appreciation for someone else over email. Find the perfect temperature.
Mm.
Let's see what that is. The weather outside has a direct influence on how we feel on the inside, which is very true in my case. One study found that happiness is maximized at an approximate 57 degrees Fahrenheit.
Wow.
I would have never guessed that.
That's why everyone's living in San Diego. It's
I would
so
say
nice
like 70.
In San Diego. Yeah. No, 57? Really?
Seven, yeah.
Wow.
A one-sentence journal. Sometimes the most mundane moments turn out to be the loveliest source of happiness. Research shows recording these everyday events make us happier later on because we appreciate them a lot more when they're revisited. I like that, a one-sentence journal.
Yeah, this way you're not committed to writing, you know, a lot. That's good.
You like just write a sentence.
Anybody could do that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, have more sex at least four times a week. People
wow.
who have sex at least four times a week are less depressed and happier overall.
Okay.
Hmm.
That's
interesting.
Yeah.
Just try being happy.
Wait, what? That was one of them on the list?
Just try being happy in a capitals try. Get spiritual.
Yeah.
Celebrate little victories. I'm big on that too.
Yeah, that's big.
Think of happy memories. Skip the small talk and go deep. And that's another funny thing. So I'm at dinner this weekend and I'm having conversations.
Skip
with
the small talk and go deep.
Yeah. So listen, so I'm having dinner with this, you know,
yeah.
I parked my car in the front spot and, and the man that we're with says, why every time we go out with you, we get onto these conversations, like almost like he was like, ugh. And I said, well, what do you talk about, like, when you're with other people? So his wife goes, nothing. I said, yeah, like, what's the point of getting together with people if you don't have meaningful conversation?
Right. Some people don't feel comfortable. Like,
no.
People like shallow.
We were challenging each other, but we were talking
yeah,
about
no.
meaningful things.
Right,
like,
right.
About things that we, you know, we disagree with. And so just, it wasn't an angry conversation at all. It was very healthy,
right.
But
some people like surface. They like to keep it right
like,
on the surface.
What do friends do? Like,
yeah.
I talk about this frequently with a friend of ours at work. You know, she's always so worried about what's said and how you say it. And I don't want to tell this part of my life. Or whatever. If you're truly friends with someone, then you should be able to tell them everything. I mean, of course, you keep some things private, but like, what? Why be friends and have conversations and spend time with people if you don't really know them? If they're like hiding so much of themselves, you know? So I guess that's what it means, you know, go deep. So
go deep.
Yeah. Spend money on someone else, become a better listener, talk to someone IRL. I don't know what that means. Put down the phone and log some real FaceTime. We're social creatures.
Mm-hmm.
And not just on the internet. So it's time we tap into those resources. Research shows we simply feel better when we're around other people.
That's true.
Yeah. Lower your expectations. And at first I was like, what? And then I read it and it made sense. Like, when you have such very high expectations of someone else, it can lead to disappointment because you've created this like grandiose, you know, experience or whatever. I think it's important to have high expectations on yourself and others, but I think you have to keep it, you know, in a real way. So then I understood that a little bit better. And then look on the bright side. That was the last one.
Right. That's, you know, glass half full. I like that.
Yeah. So I like that. I thought it was very, I don't know, it made me think and, you know, even if you take
that's
one of
a good, that's a good article or yeah. Whatever list.
It's a list. It was a list. And then with, a, like I said, a little blurb underneath. So, it turned out to be a very long segment. I apologize.
No, I like it. You know,
it's meant to be short and sweet.
I wrote a few of them down. 57 degrees. I'm setting my thermostat at 57.
Oh, forget that. You'll freeze.
Well, I'll be happy.
But, yeah, that's what they say. Maybe outside. It's probably really refreshing outside.
Well, right. That's like 57 degrees. Yeah, it's like spring.
Yeah.
No, I like that.
So it's good stuff.
We got a lot of really nice emails this week.
I know. You know, we really did.
I'm just
they really
reading,
mean a lot. So.
I'm reading one.
Yeah, they really, really mean a lot. And sometimes, you know, sometimes one of them, like we both almost cried. You know, so
yeah, there was
I want you
one,
to know
well,
that when you write about your life and you take the time to really,
hey, how about you play
your story? We don't take it lightly. Like we both, right? We were both like, oh
no, we don't take it lightly. Play my record. Play my message that I said. Remember, I left you a nice message. I'm so nice. I left you a message after I read that email.
I may have, you're gonna be mad.
You've deleted me.
I don't know. Let me say.
Because I'm very authentic. You should always keep, just in case I die, you should play this.
Now, what if it's not the right message and I play this on?
No, just play it.
Did you send it Friday at 7?
All right. I'll tell you when I sent it because you should always keep my voice.
It's too late.
I can't believe the email. You know, I started to cry a little bit. I don't know why, but it just touched me that I guess it came at a good time. For both of us.
See? It's so sweet.
That's it?
No, I don't know what else you said, so we kept it. I'm keeping it like that.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, I said other things, but...
do you want me to continue playing it?
Yeah, well, whatever. What do you think? You want to play? Yeah, play it. This is real. This is real.
I'm telling you to end it there, so I'm going to end
all
it.
All right, I'll end it there.
I'll listen later.
Listen later. Anyway, I went on to say about how... And this is... I'm not embarrassed by... How both of us often forget, we both forget sometimes, you know, in our day to day, that we do reach people and we do make a difference in people's lives. And, you know, we basically are doing this for us, you know, like, to be honest with you, like, we are so excited to talk to each other on this show. And we really work out real problems and we share what we learned in life and we're sharing it to each other. But, you know, in the back of our mind, we know that, you know, you're listening, but we forget.
I was just going to say that. I forget.
We forget. Really forget. Yeah. And it really only reminds, that's, you know, if you play the rest,
Well, no, you're pretty much saying it. I just didn't know how much you wanted. You know, I don't know.
And I said it very emotionally. Like, I was really upset. I was upset. Not upset, but I was really taken back by the email that I got. We got. And again, we forget the difference we're making. And then, you know, you go on, you had called me back and you said, yeah, you know, people we know, you know, some people we know don't even know that we have, right? I mean, this is crazy, by the way, Michelle. You know, seriously, this is a story.
Half my family doesn't know.
I mean, no, really. No, I don't know if people know we've been doing this show. If you're a longtime listener, fine. However, the latest emails we're getting, people only started listening to us a month and a half.
You know, and then they tell us that they're already caught up. I mean, how
they're already caught. They need us doing this, you know, three times a day. Anyway, so but what blows my mind about us doing this show is that we could have any type of impact on somebody's life around the world, in Australia or wherever, India, wherever they are, Canada, New York, California, wherever. And that they take something we say, could be a line, could be something you said in your news story or something I said from a story or whatever. And they are so excited to apply it in their life and they're blown away by it. And we just are not even thinking that we're doing anything other than helping ourselves. And, you know, it's just amazing. And I felt so privileged to do this with you, Michelle, and so privileged that people like the show. And I just felt like an amazing, it's a reaffirmation or confirmation or validation that this is the right thing to be doing. And I'm proud of it.
Yeah, me too. And you know what's funny is many times we talk about things and I'm like, you know, if I revisit the conversation, I say to myself, well, that was kind of pointless. Like, that wasn't such a great story or whatever. I could have found something better. And it's always the moments where I'm feeling like, oh, I wish I had a little more to offer. Those are the talk points that people write about. It's incredible. Like, how many times did that happen to us?
Right, right. And sometimes, you know, Michelle and I will end the show and we'll talk after we hit the stop button, you know. And we're preparing, you know, our little blurb and we're like, I don't know if that was a good show. You know, like, we're like, do you think people will care? You know, like, do you think we, you know, made a difference? Or do you think, we just didn't think sometimes what we said was all that important. And then we get the email or, you know, about how the one thing you said in your news story or the one thing I said or the joke or whatever. And it just meant more than we thought it did. You know, and right.
The point being, we really appreciate the stories. We read them; they're meaningful. So don't think that they go unnoticed because they don't.
No, they don't, and they don't. And you know,
that all came from one of the 34 ways to get happier, and it was from writing. You know, pretty much, I guess they were really talking about being with someone physically, but reaching out and communicating is a tremendous way. Right. Of helping yourself be happier. Any type of communication.
Right.
You know, whether it's a letter, sometimes it is through, you know, social media or your phone, text, whatever. Whatever it is, you know, it's nice to hear from people. Yeah. Even just to know they thought about you. Like, you know, when someone just says, oh, you know, I've been thinking about you.
Yeah.
Then you stop for a second. You're like, wow. That person was thinking of me.
Yeah, that's pretty powerful, actually.
Yeah.
You know, I often wonder, like, when someone pops into your head, right, and you start to think about somebody, like, really strong, do you think that they're also thinking about you at the same
time?
Probably. Like, I always think that. I always think that, you know, I haven't thought about this person in forever. And why am I thinking about this person, like, so strongly? I almost think that they're thinking about me, and therefore it creates an energy.
Yeah. Or did you ever find that...
People are like, these two are nuts.
Yeah, I know. Or do you have a friend where, like, you're in alignment, but you're not together? Like, you know, like, you haven't seen each other in days. Yet if you talk, you're like, I couldn't sleep this night. I didn't this night. And it's almost like you're on the same schedule,
right.
But you don't know until, like, you catch up.
Right.
You know, it's funny. It's funny. And it's all about making connections, and it's all about being present and actually having a clear enough mind to make the connections, you know? Because if you don't, right. if you're not in the present moment and you're not thinking, you miss a lot of opportunities.
You do. And it all goes back to, it all goes back to a successful mind, you know?
Yeah.
Because without a successful mind, you're not present, you're not making connections, you're
right.
it's dragging you all over the place.
And without a successful body, you're not able to get where you want to go, you're not able to yeah. have the energy, you know what I mean? It all goes hand in hand.
It's all connected. Boy, are we really learning, you and I.
I know. This is incredible.
This is good. I think that we have learned, I think we are in the best stage of our life so far.
I'm going to agree with you.
No, because I know you. I've seen some lows, baby.
Yeah, I know. And I know you, sweetheart.
And I've seen some lows. Boy, I mean, I've seen lows scraping you off the floor.
Well, that was after I scraped you off. I was exhausted that I fell.
I mean, the two of us.
Yeah, after we healed you, you had to work on me then, you know.
Yeah, you know, I don't know.
We you healed should, you first.
You know what? You're right. Because this whole thing started from all my issues.
Oh, my gosh.
And Michelle, boy, she listened to me week after week. And I said, what's wrong with this girl? She doesn't have any problems. She's, you know, and you were so patient. You just were like, you know, Steve, you ever think of this? You have even listen to the early shows.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, just when I started to, like, get healthy again, you know.
Like, all right, he's strong enough.
And then you start telling your stuff. I'm like, what happened to you? I thought you were the one. So,
you know what's funny?
It's great.
Funny. I was talking to a friend today, which I know that they don't listen, but if they do, they'll know that I'm talking about them. But that's okay because it's all out of love. And we were talking about something joking, and there was miscommunication. And my friend said, you know, I don't think I can help you with that. And I didn't ask for help. It was just miscommunication. I wasn't asking for help. I don't know how we got miscommunicated, but whatever. And then I joked and poked, like, you know, about not telling me you're not going to help me. I mean, I didn't even ask for help, but thanks for letting me know that you're not going to help me if I need it.
Right.
But anyway, it got me thinking about help. And what I know about myself is that, and this I think has been forever, I really don't ask for help unless I really need it. And I think you have the same way. Do you notice that? Think mm-hmm. about it.
Right.
Do you really call on people to help you unless you really need it? I really
no.
do most
no,
of
I don't.
The things I need to do on my own.
And
don't
sometimes
get me
I
wrong.
Don't.
Like, you right. know, of course, we ask our significant others to help out around the house. I'm not talking about that kind of help. But I very often, if I'm seeking help from you and I'm asking you for
you really need it.
You bet you know
that you better
I really
be,
need
yeah,
the help. I don't flippantly true. Ask for help.
No.
And it's the conversation with a friend is completely irrelevant because that was just kind of funny because it turned into a joke. But I learned it made me revisit that little topic in my head about me asking for help.
No, it's true.
Yeah. Because, you know, some people ask for help for everything. They're like completely in, you know, they're what do you call it? They're not independent. They're like dependent and they want everything to do everything for them or, you know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I know. I know people that require help for every little thing.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't, you know, I don't, I really don't. Sometimes I don't even ask for it when I really need it too. And I'm getting better. I'm
That's
really
why
getting
I was
better.
It's kind of like, wait a minute. I didn't ask, but if I did, you're saying no? Like,
no, I wouldn't say no.
No, it wasn't meant. It was, like I said, I think it was fine. It's not like that, but it just made me think, you know what I mean? Made me think about when I would ever ask for help. Like I don't even know if I've ever really asked you for help.
Yeah.
Like you just help me and you don't realize it. Or maybe we help each other just by whatever, but I don't know. Interesting, right?
It is.
You're looking for a song or something.
I am. And you know what? You know what song that you love that I haven't played in a while?
Hmm.
Okay. I know you well.
Is it Sun?
No. Yeah. No. I know that. I know you love that. Yeah. But no.
Am I supposed to guess?
Yeah, give me one more guess. Oh. It's the other one that you really love.
Oh, Blackbird?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Blackbird. Blackbird singing in the dead
of night. It makes me happy.
Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free. Blackbird fly. Blackbird fly. Into the line of the...
Isn't that nice?
Yeah, I do. I love that song.
I don't know why I love it so much.
It's so pretty, and it's so short. It's like not even a minute, I don't think, or just over a minute.
Yeah, it's like a pure song.
I know.
And it reminds me of the old times.
I know. It's just such a pretty song.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, listen, Michelle.
All right, listen. I got to run out of tonight, boy.
Yeah, this was a good one.
I know. Well, there you are. You're not listening.
No, I mean, I really feel like I got a lot out of this.
Yeah, I did too.
And I hope people join us for this 21-day meditation. And you know what? By the way, it's free, and you can't wait that long because...
Well, you're already locked out of like three...
Yeah, if you start tonight, you could start basically on day three. So you miss day one and two. It doesn't really matter, right, Michelle? As long as you start.
Yeah, I think it's fine. I missed day one and two, I think, or one. Well, I missed one of them.
But I'm going to need something after this. Like, after the 21 days, I'm really going to... I really am used to taking the time to learn a lesson, to meditate, and it's, like, really great. So, we're going to have to...
Well, if you go on YouTube or you Google, I am 100% certain that you'll find something.
Right. And if not, I'll just buy Deepak's tapes. I mean, you know, come on.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, listen, if it helps...
If it helps, it helps.
It helps.
You know, what are you going to do?
It's priceless.
And we're going to encourage people to... you know, reach out, send an email. If you can, go on over to iTunes and do a little review for us, because that really helps. That helps me when I'm looking around, and sometimes I'm not sure if I want to listen to the show or download the podcast. I'll look at the reviews. And so if you can do that for us, that'd be great. Write a little review of what you thought of us and the show. And reach out on Facebook for us. Say hi. And that's it, Michelle, right? It's a pleasure as always. And, you're my co-host for life.
Co-host
for life.
Listen, I'll take it.
Co-host. And we'll be doing a show in heaven as well one day.
Yes. We'll be the welcoming committee.
All the angels will be listening.
Welcome, welcome.
Sit down. We're going to be a while. All right. I'll talk to you soon, all right?
Yes. Everyone have a great week.
All right. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.